So take your Bibles once again. And so take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Ephesians, found in the New Testament. And we're heading to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And we are intending to look at verses 1 to 13 as we go through God's text as Paul writes. And while you're looking, need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded that Paul wrote chapters 1 and chapter 2. So you got to remember the context of all that he has said so far as we get into chapter 3. Now, most briefly and most succinctly, as we look into chapter 2, because Paul, in essence, references to this, some things we need to understand. So just the highlights of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. We need to remember this. We were dead in our sins. We were disobedient. We were depraved, and therefore we were doomed as a people. And then we get to read verse 4, but God. Glorious words in that we see that. Why? Because of God, His mercy and His love for us, He has made us no longer dead, but He has made us to be alive in Christ. And so we understand that God saved us from our sins, and He has saved us for a purpose. And as we looked at verses 11 to 22 in chapter 2, we need to be reminded, as he's particularly writing to Gentiles, which is what most of we are, that we, the Gentiles, we were this. We were Christless, we were foreigners, we had no hope, and we were godless. Well, there again, but God, but Christ. What did Christ do? The work of Christ was that of reconciliation. What did it bring for us? It brought us peace with God. It made us one. It was a unifier. And it gave us access to God. And those who have come to faith in Christ, therefore our believers, are therefore, who are we now? We have a citizenship, not of this world. We have a citizenship of heaven. We are part of the family of God. And we are stones in the temple that God is building through Christ, who is the head of the church, for now until eternity. So remember all those facts and remember all those things as we get into Ephesians 3. And so if you have found Ephesians in your Bible, and you have found chapter 3, and you are able, let's rise in the honor of reading God's word this morning. Paul continues to write. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and of partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purposes which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we come to you and we come to you at this time. And Lord, we just open up your word. And Lord, we pray. open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our souls, that your word would speak through us, speak to us this day, that we would be believers and that we would love you with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. So Lord, we just ask that your spirit move among us, that your spirit convict those that need that of conviction, that your spirit will drive to redemption those who need redemption. Lord, may your spirit continue to be the work that brings about the sanctification and the glorification as you and you alone are God. So Lord, we commit our time to you this day, and it is Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so you may be seated. And so we come to this time, and I want to use an outline that is not original to me. It actually comes from Benjamin L. Merkel. It's in a book of Ephesians. It's actually in an exegetical Greek work of the New Testament. And so we're going to walk through the outline he has, and I think it's going to be a great benefit for us this morning. And so we begin as we look at this with this. We need to understand this. What is Paul's situation? And so as we look in those of that time frame, we look particularly in verse 1. And so what do we understand? What is Paul's situation? And we see primarily in verse 1, and we see also again in verse 7, Paul states this. He is both a prisoner and he is a minister. And both of those he sees as his work and as his purpose, as that being a prisoner, that of Jesus Christ. And we ask ourselves, well, we can look back. We can look back through the book of Acts. How did Paul become a prisoner? Well, in essence, he became a prisoner because he preached the gospel and to that of the Gentiles. There was an issue in Jerusalem, and we turn to the latter part of Acts. You can read more about this. But Paul is there, and as he is preaching, and he is preaching this, Gentiles are now in the family of God because of the work of Christ on the cross. They are unified. They are one. And just as he, in chapter 2, had laid out that we who are Gentiles, those who are Jews, there are no more. There's neither Jew or Gentile. There's really neither slave nor free. But there is one who is in the family of God and citizens. And that, because of that message and because that was spoken, there was uprising of Jews, and therefore Paul had to be rescued by the Romans, and therefore this whole series of trials begins and goes through, and by which first we would say, well, Paul's a prisoner of Rome. But see, Paul loves the Lord, and he understands why he is there. We see in his text, he's going to lie, man, this is my purpose, and this is what I was called to do. And therefore, I preach and proclaim that of Christ. And my situation may be, in some ways, I may be in prison, a prisoner of Rome, but more importantly, man, I am a prisoner of God. Christ. And for Christ, I give my life. And so we see him as both as the prisoner, and then we see him as the minister. Paul desires that he would serve for the glory of God, not for himself, but for Christ. Why? Particularly that others, particularly Gentiles, would come to know Christ through salvation. What's the second point we see here? And we see that Paul has been given this stewardship of a mystery, as he calls it. We would look to Ephesians verses chapter 3, verses 2 to 7. And so the first question we want to ask and the first question we want to answer in describing this is simply this. What is the mystery that Paul proclaims? We simply answer this in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. That is it. Now, what do we understand by this? And there's parts that we go, how was that not known? Because we can go back and we can look in through Genesis and Exodus and the books of the Moses or the Pentateuch, and we can look through the prophets, and we can pull out always that from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world was laid, God had desired a people made up of all nations, all tribes, all languages. In essence, we would say all people groups that would love him and that will know him. We know that is true. Why? We could go to Revelations. Man, we read the verse that, what? We are looking for one day when all people, all tribes, all tongues, all nations will one day what? Gather together and they will be in glory. And they will worship him. And so we can point to the prophets and we can point to those and they would talk about that. We knew that somebody from every tribe, tongue, nation, ever, that how that boils down to, will one day be in glory with God. What is the mystery that was unknown pretty much through the New Old Testament, made new through the work of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost as it came down and it was shared through that what? That Jews and Gentiles, and that covers the whole world right there, are co-heirs. They are co-heirs with Christ. What we talked about, what? What did that mean for those who are Gentiles? Citizenship in the kingdom of God. Part of the family of God. A stone that God is molding and shaping into the work of his temple for eternity yet to come. And we get in this, so there's no longer now Jew nor Gentile, but all are found in Christ. And so Paul said, man, that was the mystery. He said, what was it, man? They didn't know exactly how all that fit together. What does Paul say? God in these days has now made that known. That the church may therefore proclaim that. Now you also got to remember, it was always possible for a Gentile to go through a process by which, to the best that they could be, they would become a proselyte, or they would come, could become Jewish in that sense. There were still some distinctions about where they could go into the temple realm, but what do we see? That has all been done away with. Because now there is no distinction. We are all seen as one, and we are seen in one how? In Jesus Christ. And particularly what? The work of the cross. What is the work of the cross? The work of the cross is Christ being born of a virgin, living a perfect life, speaking in the ministry that he had for 3 years, and at the perfect time and after the perfect day, died to take the punishment of sin for both Jews and Gentiles. It is salvation that right there, that he takes that punishment for sin. He took it to the cross. It was nailed to the cross there. His blood was shed. And he crucified. He was crucified and he was dead. Buried. And then, praise God, resurrected. Resurrection Sunday, which we routinely celebrate every year. Sin, but what do we see out of this? Also, so there's this mystery that takes place as we look. And so there's this mystery that it's there and that we see. And so what we understand, man, Jews who always thought they were part of the kingdom. Here's the downside that some of them would see, and we would understand. We read that the gospel, read that God's word is a stumbling block to them. What? Christ crucified is a stumbling block to them. Because what does it say? It says, man, it no longer is that you thought you had a biological heritage to the kingdom. You got to have a spiritual heritage. Your spiritual heritage goes to your heart and your soul and your mind and all of who you are. What does it say? You need to realize you are a sinner and Christ is the Savior. And your citizenship, your membership in the family of God, and your stone in the future temple is all based on how and what do you do with Jesus Christ. Do you accept him as Lord and Savior, or do you reject him? That's what Paul is saying. And so to the Gentiles, said, man, you can now find salvation in Christ. And so what do we see from there as we go from there? So, well, how did Paul learn this? And if we were looking at verses 3 and 4, it is made known to him, not of anything that he did on his own, but it is made known to him through God. It is made known to him through God. It was God who called Paul. And we could go back there again to Acts, and we could look at his call to first come to salvation. He's on the road to Damascus. Great light shone forth. He's thrown to the ground, and the story that comes there. And then also we understand from that, we understand from Paul's writing, there's another time where God worked in his life and God showed him things. But he was told from the get-go, named Saul at the time, Saul, going to become Paul, you're going to take my message to the Gentiles. And we got to be reminded back, we go back to Acts 1:8, you're going to be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Paul, you're the ends of the earth guy. And you're going to begin to proclaim that message there. And so how does he learn it? He learns it through the divine revelation that's there. It is of God. It is of God's calling on him. And then we come to verse 7, and he says, how am I going to be able to do it? Paul's right, man, of which I became a minister. How? According to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. And so we see that it is, how does Paul serve? But he serves because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him and the work of the power of God in his life. It is a calling of God. Paul was not self-appointed as something that he thought would be good to do. Let me go ahead and let you in on a little bit of information here. Ministers, pastors, those we do not serve. Well, let me take that back. We should not serve because we think it's a good idea or we may have giftingness for this. This position, sometimes we talk about it as the elder or the under shepherd or the lead elder of the church or the pastor. We are here to serve not because of our own thoughts and ideas, but because of the call of God that has been placed in our life that says, yes, Lord, I will go. Paul said, yes, Lord, and he was duty bound to proclaim the gospel. And such, what do we see in his life? Man, he disregarded everything else. For what? For the glory of God to rule and reign. And he took that gift and he carried it to the best he could all of his days till his life would be taken from him. And he would enter in to glory. And so we see that Paul, we saw Paul's situation. We saw his stewardship of the mystery that was given to him. And as we look in verses 8 to 12, what do we see? Paul's service in what? Proclaiming that mystery. What does he proclaim? And what do we see him proclaiming? He proclaims this. Verse 8. That there are unsearchable riches that are found in Christ. He said that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What are we to understand that? Man, the greatest riches of the world are found right here. They are found in God's Word. They are found in the wisdom and the knowledge. It comes from knowing God with everything that you have. We often say, that we love God with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And there's the greatest riches found in that. And there's the greatest riches in knowing and loving God's Word. Paul's ministry was to proclaim that to everyone he encountered. We talked earlier, said what? Paul proclaimed the gospel, especially to the Gentiles. We see Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles, and it was where God called him to serve, and it was his mission to spread the gospel to them Why? That they may come to know Christ. He explained the truth. He shared the truth. In times when the sharing was favorable, and he shared when times when the sharing was unfavorable. But he proclaimed the word of God. What else do we see in this as you look in verses 10, kind of following? We see these things manifesting themselves. God revealed his mystery to Paul for a purpose. He revealed this mystery to Paul for a purpose through the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we see? And what was the purpose by which it was given? The purpose by which Paul shared it? The purpose by which we continue to share this day? And it is this. That the church, capital C church, of which the gathering of the body of believers that gather here at this place we call Red Hill Baptist Church are part of, that the church would be the proclaimer of God's truth. And that God's truth will be proclaimed in this world. That it will be proclaimed throughout time and has been, that we are along the lines of those who have been given God's truth. And we read of Paul that we hold these truths in earthen vessels, what? That message may continue to go forth. When is the message to end? It only ends when Christ comes to reclaim everything. And those truths in God's word, guess what? Live forever. God's message is proclaimed forever. So what's he saying, man? The purpose that we have is to be the church. We are to be God's church. We are proclaimers of God's truth. We are not to deviate from it to the left or to the right, but we are to preach what God has given us. We are to correctly and succinctly share God's word. Why? Because there are generations and there are people, there are individuals that need to know the love of God that has been sacrificed for them. That there is grace and mercy that is to be found for their sin. That there is coverance of the guilt that they may feel. But it is only found in Christ. And so we see this amazing truth that we as the church are to preach and to proclaim. And we are to proclaim God's truth to the world. And then what do we also see? We proclaim it here on earth, and then there is a proclamation that has gone forth since those days that goes into the spiritual realms. We may find ourselves going, whoa, what in the world are we talking about here? Well, see, we need to understand, and we understand to some level the spiritual realm when we talk about angels. And so at this most basic level, I can tell you there are good angels, there are bad angels. Good angels were those that stayed with God whenever in times past a rebellion took place, that Satan, also known as Lucifer, rebelled and took a portion with him. Some things we always need to be reminded. Satan is not equal to God. Satan is not equal to Christ. He is still under the authority of God. He is under the authority of Christ. He has no power. He is not omniscient, as in knowing everything. He is not omnipotent, as in being able to be everywhere. And so he doesn't know everything, and he doesn't see everything, and he is not everywhere. And what Paul is saying is, by the preaching of God's truth, those principalities learn of the mystery of God, that the Gentiles will be part of the family of God. God's redemptive purposes, they are, the angels are interested in, the host of heaven. God's intent is what? That the church will be, produce his wisdom, that it will manifold itself, is what we see here in the text. What does that mean? Well, the term manifold just merely means it means like different kinds of different colors, and God's wisdom has many facets and aspects. And it is like an intricately cut diamond. That's the words from the commentators of the English Study Bible commentary. That word would be that multifaceted. It's that aspect of it. And what do we see? That it is to take place now in the day and age which Paul reads, in the day and age until forevermore. It is to go out and it is to be shared. And but who is central in that? The church. The church. Of which who we are and who you are if you are a believer in Christ. So Paul proclaims why there's a purpose that we are here, that he is proclaimed and shared the purpose of the mystery. And then finally, as we see this, we come to verse 13. Paul writes as an encouragement to those receiving the letter. That is to those then, that is to us now. And he says, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations. He's like, do not lose heart because I am a prisoner. He's like, I am good with that because I'm a prisoner for Christ. In whatever way that God works in me and the whatever way that path has, I am going to do it to the best that I can, knowing that God is able to bring me all the way home. And he says, I am a prisoner of Christ. Do not lose heart because of that. He said, man, I go through these tribulations for you. And he's like, man, that's the glory that is to God himself. What do we do with that? Simply say this. So we take these words of encouragement. Carry on. Carry on. You who hold God in your hearts, whose soul and life have been changed. Carry on. Continue to trust in God. Continue to walk in faith. And Paul would say, why? Because it is worth it. There is no greater. There is no greater. So carry on. Walk in faith. Trust in God. And go and proclaim the gospel. Go and proclaim the gospel. And so we sit here in 2025 and we ask these questions of us. Are you a faithful steward of the gospel? Are you faithfully administrating? Are you faithfully carrying the gospel that has been given? And I understand not all of us in here have been called to fill this position. I understand that there's a calling that was placed in my life to be here at this time. And I'm here till God moves me wherever else that is. But I am here and I understand that. But I also want you to understand as a believer, you have a ministry and a service. Are you carrying this gospel faithfully? Do you believe that God can use you where you are? Do you believe that God can use you where you are? And understand this, man, there are people that you know that the rest of us don't. There are insights into people's lives that God has given you that he hasn't given the rest of us. Man, what do you do with that? First, I tell you this. Be people of prayer. Pray for those that God regularly puts on your heart. Be people of prayer. Be people of God. What do I mean by that? Be faithful and obedient to God. And live a life that reflects that. So do you believe that God can use you in your situation? Do you understand that we are unified in Christ? Do you understand that the gospel goes out to all? Do you faithfully proclaim that gospel? Through your life? Through words? Are you gaining an encouragement? Are you gaining in the encouragement that we get from God, that we get from reading His Word, that we get from coming here? That we can live life together with each other, that we can share each other's burdens, but we can also enjoy each other's pleasures and enjoy each other's joy. But are you gaining an encouragement knowing that God has a purpose for where you are? And then we're able to look into, man, sometimes when we are walking, the times are difficult. God didn't leave you. He is there then, just like He was there before. And God is still able to move mightily in this day and age, to bring you home to glory. We just have to walk faithfully and allow God to work in us and then our message to go forth. Grace and mercy continues. The mystery solved. Jew and Gentile, saved by the blood of Christ, who took the sins of the world, that we who repent will be redeemed forevermore. And may we, the church, say, praise God. Lead me, lead me, lead me. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord God, as we have come into your house and we've got to worship you again, may we, the church, realize who we are. May we, the church, realize all that you continue to do. And Lord, that you have placed us, we are molding, we're being molded and shaped according to your will, that you have placed us where you need us to be. Lord, may we be faithful. So first, Lord, our call is that we would be found a faithful and obedient people doing your word. Lord, secondly, may we be people of prayer. Prayer for those who are lost that you put upon our hearts, that you would move mightily in their day and age. And Lord, we pray that those who do not know you as Savior and Lord will feel compelled to bow their knee and to surrender it all for your glory and honor. And Lord, it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.